well, does petrolatum clog your pores? No. And okay, well, that was our episode. Thanks for tuning in. All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Chemist Confessions podcast. I'm Gloria.
And I'm Victoria.
And this is a human conversation on all the skincare science we talk about on the daily. And today we're kicking off a series on ingredients with some controversy and our chemist take on what it all really means and should you be worried and answer any questions you may have about these ingredients. And to start off, we have to talk about petrolatum.
I'm already tired. So tired.
You know, the good thing is when I polled everyone on Insta about the petrolatum question,
yeah,
there are some great questions. And interestingly, most of the questions around how it works, what it does for skin. And there are very few people that's worried about claims of it being a carcinogen, which I'm like, oh, it does warm the heart.
Yeah. Thank the Lord. We found our people. Yeah. So I guess we should just get right into it. And we're going to first answer the very basic question is, what is petrolatum? So in terms of how it's produced, yes, petrolatum does come from petroleum, which is mm-hmm. a crude oil. There's a lot of confusion around it because the source sounds so bad. However, what we can tell you that petrolatum is an extremely, extremely refined byproduct that is part of this petroleum processing. And probably one of the major confusing points with petrolatum and its safety is that it is also called petroleum jelly. It's right. More of the old school name. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's one of the top questions we got is like, wait, so is petrolatum just petroleum? It's definitely not the same thing. Petroleum is an all-encompassing name. Petrolatum is what we call the inky name or like the official cosmetic name. Mm-hmm. But part of the reason was that part of the reason why petroleum jelly kind of persists to this day is that's the original name for Vaseline, which mm-hmm. I bet a lot of you didn't know this, but Vaseline started out with basically Vaseline has always been a company that marketed petroleum jelly, and it was started all the way back in 1870.
Yeah, so I got curious and I was like, 1870, I am not a history buff, but what happened in 1870? And I have a couple things just to give you some context on when, how long petrolatum has been around for. So it is in the same time frame as the Franco-Prussian War.
I have not heard that since high school.
It is also founded pretty much around the same time the first light bulb was invented by Thomas Edison. And also that Yellowstone National Park was established and signed into law around that time as well.
All that to say, it's been around for a hot minute.
It's f***ing old.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the other thing we should also cover here is you might also hear about mineral oil. Mm-hmm. And we should mention that it is coming from the same source. Just know that mineral oil is actually just a different viscosity in a way. It's a lot more liquid, whereas petrolatum is your classic jelly consistency. It's simply that it's a lower molecular weight alkane, but this is why you'll often hear them generally in the same conversation and same scrutiny.
Yeah, exactly. Mineral oil you might find on your ingredient list also listed as, say, liquid paraffin or other kind of related names.
Yeah.
But today we won't focus on mineral oil or the lighter version of it. We're going to focus on petrolatum. And the number one question we got is actually just, all right, I hear a lot about petrolatum, but what does it do for skin? And one of our followers actually asked, does it add moisture? Which I think in itself is kind of an interesting concept.
Yeah.
It boils down to petrolatum is simply an occlusive. And what that means is it's a very hardy substance that seals moisture in, which may also be why it gets a bad rep for being suffocating for your skin. As it acts as a barrier, an extra barrier for your skin barrier. But Victoria, last year, I know, Victoria actually found a great paper last year that kind of looked at just how good petrolatum is as an occlusive by measuring tool before and after applying petrolatum.
Yeah, and in that study, just a really quick 5-second take is that after they applied the occlusive and then they removed the occlusive from the skin, they actually found tool to excessively evaporate because it had essentially trapped so much hydration underneath, and that's all that water evaporating. So that's essentially gives you an idea of how efficient petrolatum is as an occlusive compared to all of the other occlusive ingredients out there.
Yeah, I think in that same paper, they looked at a couple other like just lightweight oils, and the difference is really stark. So if you're curious to learn more about that particular study, refer back to our Slugging with Occlusives episode. All right, and for, you know, just to kind of get a fresh view on what does petrolatum do for skin, I actually found a couple more interesting studies relatively recently, actually, that kind of showcases different lenses on how petrolatum may interact with skin. So one of the studies that they did was they used petrolatum, and after they applied petrolatum on skin, they actually took biopsies and looked at skin structure in a much more detailed way, and they applied it on compromised skin barrier. And they found that despite petrolatum being kind of a hardy, just balmy, thick material, it actually does get into almost the entire thickness of your stratum corneum. And just as a quick refresher, your stratum corneum is the topmost, like the outermost layer of your epidermis. And when it does that, it doesn't actually disrupt the stratum corneum. It actually showed an acceleration in wound repair compared to other parts of compromised skin barrier that doesn't have petrolatum applied.
Yeah. So that's probably a little topsy-turvy for everybody, because I think most people imagine petrolatum to just be this like very heavy jelly that just sits on the surface and just is there. But yeah, I think this is a really interesting next level understanding of petrolatum, but also great to share more of its benefits, I think.
Yeah. And last but not least, I found a paper, and just to showcase how relevant petrolatum really still is, despite being essentially commercialized in the last century, I found a very recent paper that was published in 2016 that looked at petrolatum from yet another different angle. And this one to me is, it's a very, I want to say early theory on what petrolatum can do for skin, but it's still kind of interesting. So what they did is they applied petrolatum on a skin that's, you know, that's suffering from atopic dermatitis. And they did a bunch of testings. Basically, they took the skin and measured all different protein markers, enzyme markers, to see how skin has maybe shifted from applying. And this was compared to with a placebo. Yeah. So we know that the effects from petrolatum. And it showed that petrolatum, in addition to being occlusive, that occlusive action also seemed to upregulate your skin's own antimicrobial response. And it actually also upregulates like positive skin barrier, upregulates basically your skin barrier's recovery signals. And all that's almost to back up what we already know from previous studies, that petrolatum does help with skin recovery when skin barrier is compromised. It's just like, I find it really interesting that this upregulating antimicrobial thing is definitely very new to me.
Yeah, I was just thinking how, like, you know, we kind of complain sometimes about how moisturizing ingredients definitely don't have the same data as actives, some of the historical ones. I think I might have to change that, because I think petrolatum, of all the ingredients, we covered hyaluronic acid and glycerin and all of these other ingredients, I think petrolatum might have these beat in terms of level of research, maybe.
Yeah, no one's tracking your DNA after applying hyaluronic acid.
Exactly. Like, who would think to try to consider the mechanism of petrolatum and its healing properties? So, pretty good.
Yeah, super interesting. But all that boils down to the question people want us to answer in this episode, which is, all right, great occlusive, but it is a greasy ingredient. So does it clog your pores or not? But before we get into that, we have to take a break.
Yes, let's do it. Looking for a moisturizer that does it all? Check out our Mr. Reliable. We pack clinically tested, barrier-loving actives like ceramides, lactobacillus, and silymarin all into a lightweight, layerable texture that works well with all skin types.
Yep, I have really dry skin, but I actually really hate the idea that a lot of brands out there seems to think that we really like that thick, gunky, greasy night cream, super noisy texture. Yeah, I will love a lightweight gel that just, you know, feels good and does the job. And we really feel like, as formulators, moisturizers don't have to be like that to work well. Mr. Reliable for me is the perfect texture to layer while still letting my skin feel like skin. So really, superior barrier care just doesn't have to feel gross. So for all of our podcast listeners, please check it out and use the code CCPODCAST2024 for 15% off your first order. All right. Let's dive into it. I think the question that everyone has is, well, does petrolatum clog your pores? And no. Oh, okay. Well, that was our episode. Thanks for tuning in. Victoria wants off, but
yes, I do.
This can be a bit of a complex question.
Yeah.
Especially if you start researching on the internet, there seems to be camps that's like, no, are you crazy? Of course not. Petrol atom is awesome. It will never clog your pores. And then there's the other camps that, why would you ever do that to yourself? Of course it clogs your pores. So let's look at the data a little bit. Mm. I think if you look into it from the angle of cosmetic chemist or experts that's been in this field for some time, especially on the just on the formulation side, most of us will say it is not comedogenic, and it's based on the original comedogenicity scale testing, which is done on rabbit ears.
Getting really old school. This is like really old school.
Yeah, actually, this is like one of the classic animal tests that's, you know, that the industry has since shifted away from. There's some debates about how well that correlates to human skin and whatnot. But I will say this paper that I pulled from 1984, that's how old it is. At that time, that was definitely the standard. And I'm just going to read a quick quote from this paper. The paper says, the rabbit ear continues to be a rapid, effective screening tool for the evaluation of cosmetics and cosmetic ingredients. Although it may be difficult to separate minimal reactions such as grade 0 to 2, grade 3, 4, and 5 are clear-cut and the results are quite uniform. So it was really popular because it was repeatable, right? Especially like the quote says, for high-end offenders, for ones that's like really, really, really bad in this test, it seems to be uniform across all rabbits. And that's one of the challenges with any of these tests is that you can imagine everyone's reactions are a little different. So for an ingredient to be universally irritating for skin or universally not irritating for skin, those are kind of hard to find.
Yes. So I'm really glad we're covering this. Again, I just want to emphasize this is very old school, but was definitely served as some direction for formulators. And I think we're going to show some of the charts here of the results. Definitely take your time going through it. Give it a pause if you are watching this on YouTube. There's a lot of ingredients and products that you can go through here. And I think one of the things that Gloria and I really want to remind you all is that this is not law. So this is not, you should not be using this to basically avoid these ingredients entirely from your formulas. This is really just an example of how testing is done. And maybe I would think of it more as a mild consideration for us when we formulate.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll also see here that there are certain ingredients and products that maybe make you raise an eyebrow, but also find that it's not relevant. And the best example of this I just want to showcase is in one of the charts, the second one, they actually test Retin-A cream for its comedogenicity. And it actually scored a 4, which is significantly high. And this would be one that we would just say is obviously does not fit your typical bill for the comedogenicity test. Of course, you're going to see a flare up just by its nature. So hopefully that gives you some bearings on how to approach the study.
Yep. And the thing to note here is I think people are still sometimes surprised to find out that the lanolin score really high on this test. Lanolin alcohol being the mildest one. Remember, between 0 to 2, it's all considered maybe, but it's probably fine. But the more modified versions of it, like the acetylated lanolin and ethoxylated lanolin, scores pretty high on this chart. And then we go down to, on the second chart, we'll highlight here, the mineral oil and petrol atom score a whopping 0, which is also difficult to score completely zero reactions whatsoever. And this is often the data people cite to say, no, petrol atom and mineral oil are super vanilla. And it is true that in this rabbit ear model, it doesn't matter what you do, cosmetic grade petrol atom will not cause any reaction. And I didn't pull this paper because it's a little bit less relevant for this episode. But in fact, petrol atom is so vanilla for the rabbit ear test, it's actually used as a base in some other tests. Like if we have a solid that you need to dilute a little bit to test, they actually solubilize it or dissolve it or just melt it into petrol atom and use it as a carrier because they know petrol atom is considered inert in this model.
I'm really glad you brought that up. And kind of a segue into that is this ingredient itself is something that like basically oily acneic people don't necessarily have to write off. But if you look at this comedogenicity chart, you'll see that a couple of Vaseline's products actually have scored decently high on their actual formulations that most likely contain some aspect of mineral oil or petrol atom.
Yes.
And so I think this is a good example just to showcase how the ingredient does not equate to the comedogenicity of the formula itself. It's actually what the comprehensive formula needs to be taken into account in terms of comedogenicity. And that's when Gloria and I, we get asked a lot of questions about, oh, is this formula comedogenic? Is this comedogenic? And this is where we're saying, like, we can't tell you unless we test.
Yeah, that is such a good point. The product that Victoria highlighted here was the Vaseline Intensive Care Lotion that scored a whopping 4 on the scale. Mm-hmm. And first of all, I should remind everyone, this is from 84. So I highly doubt that this product either still exists or still uses the same formula from 84.
Yes, true.
But no, that's exactly it. It's the whole formula effect is just different than what the raw materials are.
Exactly.
Cool. And we have one more test that we pulled. This is a review paper on all things petrolatum. And instead of going to specific data, I'm just going to read the excerpt out loud about on the comedogenicity section. This paper summarizes, several studies have claimed that petrolatum is comedogenic due to its physical properties. However, none of which reference back to this claim. Petrolatum was initially reported to be comedogenic when mild comedogenicity resulted when petrolatum was continuously applied under occlusion for 6 weeks in human studies. Mm. However, in a subsequent study, the same authors reported improvement in acne with petrolatum use. Additionally, in rabbit ear studies, a surrogate for human skin, petrolatum applied once daily for 2 weeks did not result in clinical or histological evidence of comedogenicity. Furthermore, a large study of 910 post-adolescent patients with acne show decreased number of acne lesions following cosmetic use, including 100% white petrolatum.
Mm.
Ooh, interesting. So
juicy.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like we're driving this train towards, all right, it's not comedogenic, rest easy, we're moving on, closing the book on this. But comedogenicity is a tough topic. Between the two of us, I have really dry skin, and Victoria can tell you more from her experience, someone that more prone to acne, that acne triggers are just wonky.
Yes, very much so. I'm really glad you brought this up. I think back in our day when Gloria and I attended a lot more talks, way, 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 way more, we got to hear from a very prominent dermatologist, and they were talking about acne, and they were saying one of the most difficult aspects that they wish their patients knew about acne is that they'd be willing to apply petrolatum on their acne spots. Because when you dry it out, it actually makes the healing process a lot worse, which is it's like opposite to what you would think with acne, where you feel like the quicker you dry it out, the faster it would heal. Mm-hmm. But the quicker you dry it out, the worse skin is, and the worse skin will perform in healing. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to kind of share that. And then in terms of personal anecdote, I will say that knowing this, I try, but it's very hard to want to put a lot of petrolatum on my face. And I still do not perform in any kind of slugging for acne. So I'm glad you touched on this, Gloria. I think that captures a general feeling of, yes, like, we shouldn't fear this ingredient, but it still takes a little bit of personal mastery to know when you need to apply it to skin and when you don't. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. When I was looking for papers and evidence on maybe petrolatum containing products and their comedogenicity test results, what I end up finding was these aren't studies, but these are almost more like dermatologist reports of some of their case studies of their patients. So these are, you can think of them as one-offs, but at the same time, like Victoria said, it's just complex, right? Everyone's experience is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And these little reports I find are on really severe localized comedones that's maybe caused by, say, chapstick or petrolatum jelly used as a lip balm. And also I found a paper that talks about it in as a massage oil that is used. And I'll show the picture up here. And in this person's case, you can tell that it's clearly caused by something they're applying to the lips. And 6 months after they extracted these clogged pores and stopped the use of petroleum jelly, the bumps went away. So the takeaway from all of this is, while petrolatum is not exactly likely to be the pore clogging culprit, but you have to listen to your skin because it's really, really complex. Comedogenicity scale, most common. I should mention that a similar type of test is done on human now, but the rabbit data is older, but really robust on a lot of ingredients. It's still referenced. And the thing with either test done on humans or rabbit ears, at the end of the day, that number is more like a probability factor and is not the law.
Yeah. And I also want to mention, I'm really glad you talked about this, Gloria, is like petrol atom is not the source of what's causing your acne, but it can sometimes exacerbate because it's an occlusive. So one thing that's really important, and for acne individuals especially, is that applying a petrolatum on a clean face is really key. And so something like for a lip area, sometimes this is very common for those who, let's say, they eat, they sweat, you know, things like that. It's and you apply something so occlusive, sometimes these things can add to it. So you want to think about, you know, truly like know what your skin's been through, the cleanliness of skin, all of these things can matter. And not just for petrolatum, but really any occlusive ingredient. That's just by nature their function.
Yeah, so we hate to do that to you guys. I'm sure everyone wants a yes or no takeaway, but the takeaway should be decode that IL if you're using something that may contain petrolatum. And regardless, really, any formula that you're using, if you're very prone to congestion, the safest way is just to patch test.
Totally. And we are going to mention one final note. For those of you who might just be curious on whether or not petrolatum does contain carcinogens, we did mention that many of you didn't, so thank God. But if you're new to us and you have this question, we actually already touched on this kind of in depth in our previous slugging episode. This is at minute 25:31, and we will put the link here. So hopefully that is helpful for that question specifically. But anyways, I think that answers the question, Gloria.
Yes, I hope that was helpful, but we're gonna take a quick break before we wrap this episode up with the shopping landscape and how do you use petrolatum. Today's Victoria's turn.
All right, yes. Really quick, this is your animal fun fact for your trivia day. Gloria, the L train is not stopping today. I'm sorry.
We got more outfits. Oh my God. People didn't realize that Chemist Confession is really Owl Academy.
I gotta share this. I think you're gonna like this one. I really think I've got you. Okay. So today it's about barn owls. Barn owls, they're actually known to mate for life, or at least till one of the pair dies. Okay. But anyways, I found a very interesting stat that apparently barn owls have a 25% divorce rate.
That makes it feel so real.
Okay. Yes. So I was very intrigued, started going down the rabbit hole. And I'm going to read you a few excerpts from our barn owl experts out there. They write, barn owls tend to divorce only when breeding isn't going well. For
Ooh.
example, if there are only a few eggs laid or not many surviving chicks. This feels very real, right? When a pair is making a lot of babies, the birds remain quite loyal. And that chick-making relationship only gets better with time because the two mate more often, potentially maximizing the size of the family long term. Okay, great. However, they actually did a study and they looked at 634 owl pairs and they found a 23.5% divorce rate. What's really interesting is the pairs that split, the males tend to get the house.
Gasp! What?
Meaning they stayed in the original breeding site and the females leave. Okay. And then what's really interesting is most in the divorce group had given the relationship just 1 year before separating. They basically say it very a very tiny percentage of more faithful couples that stay together for a longer amount of time would actually divorce. And for those of you who are just tuning in now, we're talking about owls, not humans. So, yeah. But what's also interesting here is that females tend to leave the nest after divorce, although some are actually just pushed out rather than choosing to go.
Rude.
Yes. And what's also known is that younger males are more likely to vo divorce than older ones.
Again, we're talking about barn owls, not humans.
Yeah. The other thing that I thought was really fascinating was these male barn owls that divorce. Well, actually, let me dial back real quick. Okay. So when they choose partners, male barn owls will prefer females that have more and larger black spots on the tips of their feathers. They don't really know why, but this is considered sexy. Okay. After divorcing, the separated males often pair up with younger, lower quality birds.
Oh my god, our drama is so good.
Yeah, and they say, typically ones with less black coloration, suggesting that their reason for divorce isn't to find a superior partner.
So they rebound with whatever they see walking down the street. It's like, I don't want better, I just want different.
Yes, exactly. And I'll read you this quote, exactly as it sounds. The cost of divorce for males, then, is to repair with a less sexy female. Yeah, so anyways, you know, divorce is not just a human thing, it's an owl thing too. We're gonna end this on a good note though. They say that in this species, compatibility matters more than good looks. Males were typically better sexually matched with the new bird, so that breeding produced more chicks. And they basically want to end the note that ultimately the goal is to find their lifetime partner and basically succeed in breeding. So, and it does show that there is success in breeding and long-term mating. So that is the story of divorce in barn owls.
You know what? I've never felt more relatable with barn owls, and also best dating reality show of the year.
Yes. So if TMZ is ever bored, they should just track barn owls.
I just picture a bunch of like female barn owls gossiping and saying,
oh my god, you know Fred? Like, look at who he's with now. She only has two black spots. Like, what the heck?
She's so ugly.
Barn owls can be catty. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Anyways, I think that's going to end the owl train. I don't see this continuing in any other episodes, but I had to share.
That was a good one. I really enjoyed that one. But anyway, that was the Animal Fun Fact Corner. We're going to wrap it up with some shopping tips and routine tips on Petrol Atom.
All right, let's do it. So, long story short, we've covered this already.
Yes.
So, this is going to be very quick. A quick review, and we also just ultimately recommend you checking out our occlusive slugging guide, where we actually have the breakdown there as well. But ultimately, you can break down Petrol Atom into three categories. You have your 100% pure petroleum jelly, which is your Vaseline, and your like off-brand petroleum jelly products. We have Petrol Atom blends. So, this is usually Petrol Atom being the main ingredient, but blended with other waxes and maybe soothing extracts to just lighten the formula a little bit. So these will be things like Aquaphor, CeraVe's healing ointment, our own Chemist Confessions Bon Voyage would fall into this category as well. And then finally, you have emulsions. So these are your lotions that usually contain either Petrol Atom or mineral oils. Mm-hmm. So products that would fall into this category are things like Vanicream, La Roche-Posay's Lipicar Balm AP Plus. You've got Avene Skin Recovery and the Nivea Classic Blue Cream that comes in the tin in the tub and whatnot.
When you described it, I feel like I can smell it already.
Exactly. So hopefully that gives you a really quick outlook of shopping for Petrol Atom and the general space.
Yep. Last but not least, a few routine tips on using Petrol Atom. Like we mentioned, if you are prone to clogging pores or acne, regardless of what type of Petrol Atom products can still benefit your skin, but regardless of which type of product you use, we definitely recommend patch testing and maybe spot treating if you have a dry spot that really needs to heal. And no matter what your routine is, if you're a simple person or a complex person, Petrol Atom's occlusive, so it should typically just be the last thing in your routine. So whether you're slugging, I think we kind of talked about in the slugging with occlusive episode, we don't see slugging as a must, but it can be very helpful in a pinch if you are having a really horrific dry moment. Like I'm prone to once in a while. You can just either spot treat, use on your whole face, dab on, thin layer, thick layer. It is however you want it. Just listen to your skin. And if you know your Petrol Atom routine is right when you wake up in the morning and you can already feel that dry patch starting to die down. So that kind of wraps up everything we want to talk about today with Petrol Atom. This kind of wraps up the episode for the day. And yeah, where can they find us, Victoria?
All right. So if you want to check out all of our guides, please head to our website, chemistconfessions.com. You can write to us your questions at info@chemistconfessions.com. You can also DM us your questions on Instagram @chemist.confessions. Also, highly recommend checking out our stories because that is where we poll you for questions that shape each of these episodes. And also, we are on TikTok, but don't DM us there, please. But otherwise, thank you guys so much. We hope this episode was helpful.
See you guys next week.
Bye.